The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
Well, it's Tuesday and we always round off the show on the couch. It's a pleasure to welcome back from Irishtown in Dublin for our resident GP, Dr. Sinead Byrne. And we want to talk about tummy problems. We want to talk about indigestion, overeating, and some of the gastric problems that people can have. First of all, let's get Christmas out of the way. It is a time of rich food and overindulging, and a lot of people get heartburn and so on. Yeah. Is that just anti-acid problems or acid problems?
Yeah, I mean, it largely is. Ivan, indigestion kind of covers all that. Heartburn, we get a lot of it around Christmas. It's generally down to lifestyle. But for some people that don't really suffer from it, you know, one day of extravagance in food will bring it on. And yes, like the alcohol, certain foods, chocolate, increase the acid in our stomach. That splashes up into our gullet or our esophagus and causes that burny feeling. And obviously, if you've got weight on, that puts pressure on your stomach as well, making it more likely for the acid to splash up and give you that horrible burny feeling. So, combination of being overweight and eating the wrong stuff.
What foods are particularly guilty?
Okay, so, I mean, you're one of your favourites, Ivan, alcohol.
Okay.
You know, and I would consider it a
That would
be number one around Christmas.
You've no choice between beer or wine or spirits. They're all
some
bad.
Some worse than others, but they're generally as bad as each other.
Okay.
And that's number one offender, to be honest, with gastritis. After that, like you're talking about the fizzy drinks, the very rich, the spices, the cheese, the chocolate, even Brussels sprouts, onions. Basically everything you're eating on Christmas Day, it's that rich stuff, the fatty foods.
But,
all
but
of
is
that.
It the vegetables?
Generally, get the few of them, like the Brussels sprouts, even healthy vegetables can cause gastric problems. So, can cause irritable bowel, bloating, all of that kind of thing. Brussels sprouts, onions, you know, things you wouldn't expect that you think, oh, they're really healthy.
And
tomatoes.
And if you just take an antacid. What are those sort of well-known
Rennie's,
ones?
Rennie's, Maalox, all of those.
Yes.
Gaviscon.
Gaviscon, that's the one I'm thinking of.
They neutralise
that
acid.
They kind of give you an instant relief,
great. And you find people saying, oh, I'm a Rennie's man, or, you know, I take Rennie's and I'll pop them, you know, whenever I overindulge.
So it's no harm to have a stock of them.
It's no harm to have a stock, but I would say just, you know, around Christmas, everyone might get a little bit of that. But if it's kind of more than that, then you do need a camera looking inside, because sometimes that can be a sneaky thing, the start of esophageal cancer.
And would that would that go through your mouth or through your bum?
The go looking. The go looking down your mouth.
What do you call an endoscope?
So an OGD or gastroscopy. To have a look inside the stomach, because that can be sneaky. People can put up with saying, "Oh, I'm a Rennie's man," and they'll keep popping those Rennie's for a few years, and they have a stressful job, and maybe they don't have a great lifestyle, and they can be the people that end up having esophageal cancer. I remember one man in particular who came in to me, and I, you know, it was a screening test. I later found out that he'd had esophageal cancer. And actually, you know, he did say to me that he had heartburn going on for ages. And I said, you need to get that checked. Now, whether he did or didn't, I'm not sure. But I
What is the difference? You get this stabbing pain in your heart. To reassure yourself it is indigestion. How do you know the difference between that and a heart attack?
Well, they can be kind of different, because when we think of a heart attack, you think of this typical thing, a crushing pain. It radiates to your arm. It may go up your jaw. That doesn't happen in a lot of people, Ivan, to be honest. That's what we classically remember. Someone might be sweating or that. But actually, you can get a sort of an indigestion type feeling, just a dull discomfort. So it's pretty hard to tell. And if this happens on Christmas Day, you know, I think you're better off getting it checked. Now, the hospitals won't maybe thank me for saying that, but they work so hard. But there is an emergency service there.
But is there a distinctive element of heartburn that is unique to heartburn?
It should certainly be relieved with an antacid.
What about lots of water?
Yeah, the water will help. And I guess the other thing about heartburn is generally it comes on after eating, you know, whereas the heart attack can strike at any time. Now, you could be sitting down doing nothing, or you could be exerting yourself. There's a thing called unstable angina, where you might be sitting down, not exerting yourself at all, and maybe a little plaque ruptures in one of your coronary arteries, and that can cause the pain. But commonly as well, someone might be out exerting themselves and they'll get that chest pain. So the history is really important. You know, if I heard that somebody was drinking half a, you know, maybe a whole thing of wine, that they were eating an excess amount of food, and then they got a bit of a pain afterwards that resolved with Rennie's or Malox, that sounds more like indigestion. But there is one key way to find out, and that's a blood test, and you need that in hospital. It's a troponin level. It's an exercise stress test, kind of repeated, okay. And that's really how you know.
There's an old wives' tale. I know an elderly woman who used to take bread soda, a spoon of bread soda in water. Would that help?
That would do the trick. I mean, it mightn't be as palatable, but it certainly will. It'll neutralise the acid. Yeah, I mean, the bread soda is amazing. Like, there's a lot of those old remedies that, you know... There's some truth in them, and we kind of fancy them up.
And eating slowly is generally a good guide.
Drink lots of water, before you hit the wine.
If you're going to take a walk, do so. Now, let's just move on then to some of the gastric thing. So, someone presents to you in the clinic, and they say, I have a pain in my stomach, right? How do you know whether it's a stitch, an appendix, or an ulcer, or some gastro problem?
This is my toolbox. I'll just tell you how my brain works. Then it depends on the age of the person. Any man over 50, my antennae goes up, because it could be something, a whole different list of things. If it's a woman in her 30s, I have a different list in my head
in his 50s.
Man in 50s comes in with a pain where tummy,
just
left
right
side,
hand lower side of the tummy.
So just right hand, lower side. So then I basically think to myself, before I even look at them and put them up and take the history, what's down there? And actually in that area...
A bit lower maybe, just below the tummy button.
Okay, so you're talking groin or appendix.
A little bit, good. That's where your appendix is, on the right hand side, is it?
Exactly, it's on the right hand side of the person.
We often hear of children having their appendix out. If you haven't had your appendix out, could it be something later in life you would need to do?
Only if it causes you trouble. It's one of those organs that has no real function, only to cause you trouble. But, you know, we shouldn't remove everybody's appendix
just for the sake of it.
Under general anaesthetic, with all the risk, it wouldn't make sense.
What would be the symptoms then of an ulcer?
Okay, well, an ulcer, again, depends where the ulcer is. It could be in your stomach, it could be in your duodenum. Now, the stomach is basically where your food pipe goes in to this kind of sac, as you know, and then when it leaves it, it goes into a duodenum. So you could have an ulcer in your stomach or in your duodenum. And typically, when somebody eats, they get a lot of pain kind of up at the top of their stomach. They might find that taking an antacid might help it a bit, but it can become so bad that it can actually erode through the wall of the stomach or through the duodenum, and in fact go into a blood vessel
and
cause bleeding.
Medication?
Surgery if it's really bad, because sometimes someone will present with vomiting and vomiting blood, and you know they lose blood very quickly, they need to go into hospital, they will be in a bit of a bad way. But you can get a milder thing where it's kind of eroded a little bit of the wall. So heavy duty, what we call PPIs, so proton pump inhibitors, which reduce the acid, heal the stomach lining, and you know, pretty heavy doses for about 6 weeks, 2 months, and typically they need to have a little camera test to see that it has healed. But they may need surgery. Those people, that's like something that would happen even on a Christmas day. The surgeons are still there to repair those kind of things, because they can be emergencies.
Something I recently heard, diverticulosis. What's that?
So about 50% of people over the age of 50 have diverticulosis. It mightn't cause them any...
Very common.
Very common. So they might structurally have this problem, which are little sacs basically popping out of your colon. Now, your colon is the lower part of your gastric system, you know, the bit before, you know, the rectum where the poo sits before somebody does a bowel motion. So that colon kind of, there's quite a bit of it. It's, say,
what is it, an infection or what is it?
No, it's basically structurally you have these little pockets in your smooth wall, and it can be there and cause no symptoms, and that's just diverticulosis. But if it causes symptoms where...
Like pain or...
Pain, if you're eating maybe some foods that kind of cause inflammation in those little pockets, that causes diverticulitis. And that's where you get really severe pain. Like, you know, you just...
And what's the cure for it?
Well, the cure is changing the diet dramatically, often for people. If it's extremely bad, you know, you need to go into hospital. Antibiotics. You can try oral antibiotics, but really you need to know what you're dealing with. And in order to be sure of what's causing it, you need that camera test. Now, you can get a more minor camera test that can be done in an outpatient setting called a sigmoidoscope, where a camera is placed up into the back passage, and you don't need to be under any kind of major sedation. And people... you know, the surgeons will see the little pockets there, and they might take a biopsy to confirm it. But antibiotics will settle down a lot of that infection, but you need to really change the diet. So things like eating lettuce in a sandwich can actually provoke almost an attack of diverticulitis.
Oh, too much vegetables are bad.
Sometimes too much of the healthy stuff. So you could be healthy food that you deem healthy can actually cause a lot of problems for someone with type. But also the crappy foods as well, like, you know, your fast foods and chips and all of that can, fatty foods can flare it up. So it flares up every so often. But generally with the change in just choice of foods, not so much eating healthy. Healthy food can actually cause problems. But you want to Google a list of things that are good for diverticulitis and things that are bad. And too much fibre sometimes can actually provoke it.
The final thing, food poisoning with leftovers after Christmas.
Yeah, oh, the good old food poisoning.
Salmonella, is it? Or?
Yeah, so if turkey is in the fridge, like 2 days is max, you know, for leftovers.
What are the symptoms of salmonella?
So, I mean, like...
vomiting,
diarrhea, number one. You'd be running to the toilet. Yeah. You won't be able to go. And with the diarrhea, you eat like proper food poisoning. You have the diarrhea and the vomiting, and that can be very hard to maintain hydration. If you've got diarrhea, at least you can drink. Feed the diarrhea as such, but if you're actually vomiting as well, you can get dehydrated very quickly.
Those are the classic symptoms.
Yeah, and sometimes...
Will it pass through the system fairly quickly?
It generally does, but the big thing is dehydration. Try to take frequent small sips. Dioralite is brilliant. You know the little sachets you get in chemists?
Yes.
Just try, they replace the electrolytes that you lose, and you lose a huge amount with diarrhea. So, yeah. And obviously, Imodium. You can take some Imodium if you have diarrhea, but if you're vomiting, you won't be able to keep down the tablets. So, you know... Doctors, we're always around to help out, and so are the nurses too.
Okay,
if you're
well,
in trouble.
On the couch today, everything to do with overindulgence, indigestion and tummy problems. I hope you found that beneficial. If you have a pain in your stomach, you might be wiser as to what it is. My thanks to Dr. Sinead Byrne on the couch today, and as always. And that's it from the Hard Shoulder this evening. My thanks to the team, Aisling Moore, Ciara Courtney, Dan Flanagan and Elaine Power. On sound, we had Michael Quilligan and Peter Malloy. Off the Ball is up next. I'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. and on the box tonight at 11. Thanks for listening and enjoy your evening.